I want to talk about faith a little bit today, and I think it's very important that we realize that. Sometimes I don't think we talk enough about faith. Oh, it was already up there. I'm sorry, I have to go back. Ah, they already had it up there for me. They're ahead of you back there. We're going to study about faith, and faith is very important. We don't realize, but faith is the basis for everything we have in religion. We've got to be willing to believe in God. Now, here's some passages, and I don't know if you'll have time to write all these down. If you don't, let me know, and I'll give you a copy of them if you want those. But what I'm going to do is just kind of mention a little bit about each one of them as we go and not read all of them. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9, we're told that we are saved by faith. That says it's important. Romans 1 and verse 17, we live by faith. Romans 4 and verse 13, we rejoice or we receive righteousness by faith. Romans 5 and verse 1, we are justified by faith in Christ. Romans 5 and verse 2, we have access to God's grace by faith. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, we stand firm in our belief by faith. Galatians 3 and verse 14, we receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 4, we do God's work by faith. And then we have to understand that we appreciate what God has done for us, and we show that by our faith in Him. Faith is a very important thing, and sometimes we kind of pass over that. We kind of look over that. But I want us to study about faith this morning. And I hope that this will help you to understand faith in a greater way, and me too. Now look at Webster's definition of faith. And you've got to understand, Webster defines words according to how they're used in society at that time. And ever so often, they'll do a new dictionary, and it'll have a word in there, and you'll say, wait a minute, the meaning has changed. Well, the way we use that word has changed. Now look at the definition that he gives of what faith is. He said it is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. That's what faith is. Have you wondered why some people look at you as a Christian and when you talk about your faith, they go, oh, you know, you're just believing in something. It's kind of like a person saying, I can fly. Well, have you ever flown? No, but I can fly. I can just jump off a mountain and just fly. I can do it. Well, do you have wings? No, I can do it. Do you have a rocket tied to you? No, but I can do it. How do you know you can do it? I just know I can do it. That's not the faith of the Bible at all. We have evidence for our faith. Now, the definition that we usually use for faith is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, where it said there that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that does not mean that we have nothing at all, because we do have evidence. You see this book right here? This is a Bible. You've got one probably. Do you know what this is? It's 66 books. Written by 40 men from different times, 1,600 years it was in the writing. It has three languages. It was written in three different languages. It has prophecies in it that you can go to and see the prophecy is made and see down through time that the prophecy came true. It has a morality that is taught about it, that for mankind to follow, that is totally different than any other man would ever write. The morality alone should be enough to say we've got evidence that God is there, that we can trust in Him and we can depend upon Him. We have all these things. We have spiritual teachings that help us to be able to draw closer to God. And it's found within this book. This book right here is the book that helps us to understand that there is such a thing as a God. And we've got evidence. I don't base my faith on nothing like Webster talks about. I don't base my faith on nothing like the world talks about. But I've got evidence. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's found within this book. You say, well, now all the evidences you've given are just found in that book. Please understand, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. It is not something that you just find in this book alone. But it is a historical fact. There are more books than probably could be contained in this one room if you just started stacking them up. This room wouldn't hold all the books that affirm that Jesus Christ came forth from the dead. For somebody to say it didn't happen is to deny history. It's like saying, oh, Abraham Lincoln really never lived. Those pictures you got of him, that's not really, he never made it. You know, he didn't live. There was no such man as Abraham Lincoln. Now, if I were to tell you that, you'd say, somebody go get him and get him out of there. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, we have faith that is based upon evidence. But you see, most of the world defines the word faith like Webster does. And that's the reason that they look at you strange when you talk about your faith. That's the reason that the news shows and a lot of people talk about, you know, these people that believe in God, they're just saying, I believe I can fly. No evidence at all. Let me tell you something. We have evidence to believe in God, to trust in God. And we need to use that, and we need to trust, and we need to depend upon God because of what is given there. Do you realize how much we operate our lives off of faith? Now, look at this one. You'll like this one here. I like this one. You're going to get in your car, and you're going to drive to California. How do you know that old car's going to make it? I've heard some of you, I had a car that had 180,000 miles on it, or 200,000 miles. It wouldn't bother me at all to get in that car and to drive to California. Well, now, do you know that car's going to make it? No, but I got faith in it. Why do you get your faith from? Because it has performed in the past. It has proven true, and I think it's true today. You get up in the morning, you may have a flat tire when you go out. You may be going to work, and all of a sudden, your car just dies. You don't know if you're going to get there. You get in that car by faith, thinking, I know this car, I've worked on it, I fixed it, or I paid to have it fixed, and I know it's going to work. And you depend on that. You trust in that. And so you act on that. Has nothing to do with religion. Has to do with faith. Now, look at the second thing here. The second thing that we need to talk about, you know, all the food scares we've had, the peanuts that had the bacteria in them, and you know that, I don't like lettuce in a bag, I got to tell you. I want it in a head. I don't like it in a bag. I keep telling Linda, that's kudzu in there. I think they're putting kudzu in that. She said, no, it's good. Eat it. So I eat it. But didn't some people die from eating that? Do you still buy that stuff? Do you buy it? You know, years ago, they said about peanut butter that you can have so many parts of a roach in each jar of peanut butter. Boy, we better not have peanut butter to eat today, I'm telling you. You said, wait a minute. I trust those people that food is good. Yes, we do. Why do you do that? Because you have faith that they're looking out for your good. You have faith in that. Now, after they came out with the lettuce problem, I tell you what, I don't think you could have forced one of those. They took all those off the shelves. You know why? Because nobody had faith in them anymore. You operate off of faith. You don't know if the food that you're about to eat, when you go to a restaurant, have you ever read some of the stuff about what people do with food in the restaurants? And you go there and you eat. You're saying, what are we going to do? He's killed all the food we bought and all the food restaurants. We can't do it. Listen, we operate off of faith. If you don't believe in that restaurant, you're not going to eat there. But if you believe in it, you'll eat there. Okay, you go to the doctor. How do you know he's a doctor? How do you know he went to school? You never saw him sitting in a class. You never saw one of his professors that said, Charles has been to medical school. He's completed all the things you need. You've seen a certificate hanging on his wall. Now, I'm not the best computer person in the world, but I tell you what I can do. I can go back to my office with my computer and a couple of pieces of paper, and I can do me a certificate just like he's got. There's not many people here through the week. I've thought about doing me one of those, and then I can be a doctor Monday through Saturday. And get $50 for people to come by and me to tell them, you're sick, go home. I got a certificate. Anybody in here come to me if you've got an ailment, if you're sick, you got a broken bone, raise your hand. This is how you raise your hand. It's up like this. This is the way you do it. Y'all are not raising your hands. Why don't you do that? You say, you're not a doctor. You're about a half preacher, but you're not a doctor. I got a certificate, but it doesn't mean anything. I'm not qualified for that. But you put faith in your doctor. You go in there and say, hey, cut my chest open and run new things. The doctor, I was kidding with the doctor. I knew he had the degrees and all when I had my open heart surgery. I said, have you ever done one of these? He said, no, but I saw one on the History Channel one time, and I've always wanted to do one. I said, whoo! He said, yes, I can do that. I can do lungs. I can do livers. I can do all this other stuff. And I believed him. And I said, okay, let's do the surgery. I had faith in him. You see, we talk about in religion, you operate off of faith. That's the weakest thing that could ever be. No, it's not. We operate our whole life off of faith. What is wrong with operating our religion off of faith? We take evidence. We're saying, okay, I see that doctor. He's got that certificate up there. I can believe in him because I think that is true. I think it's true. So I believe in him. Now, we come to Jesus Christ. How do we believe in him? We got a book here that talks about him. We got historical books that talk about him. We got all this stuff, the stuff that talks about him. We got all these things that talk about him. We got people gathered here today. There are people gathered all over this world on the first day of the week to worship God. And we say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, listen. If you don't operate your life off of faith, you're not going to eat, you're not going to drive, and you're not going to go to the doctor. And if you don't operate your faith in religion, you're not going to go to heaven either. We've got to believe. We've got to trust in God. We've got to depend upon God. We've got to be doing that. Faith really affirms to all of us that we trust in things, and we come to religion. What is wrong with trusting in God in religion? We've got to learn how to do that. We've got to learn. I mean, we got doctors and all this. Faith affects our lives in more than just in religion, and we've got to understand that. It has an effect on our lives, and we've got to have that. We've got to have that kind of faith. All right, now, I want you to look at some people. Hebrews 11. Turn over there if you haven't turned. In Hebrews 11, it shows us some people here that operated their life by faith. And what this book is doing is showing people that over the years that these people had read about and heard about, these people had faith. And it's using them as an example. Now, look as he talks about Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Well, was it more expensive or what was it? By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. Oh, God commended him for being righteous. When God spoke well of his offering. You know what he's saying here? He's saying God spoke well of Abel's offering. He spoke good of it because... I've got Enoch up there. Did I skip one? Or maybe I put one in the wrong spot. Ah, there's Abel. I'll go back to Enoch in a minute. Sorry about that. That's my fault. Abel is the one we want to talk about. Here is Abel. He did these things. Why did he do this? Because of his faith. He followed God. He did what God said, and he was commended for it. He was encouraged by it. He was encouraged by it because he did. And God said, that's my fellow right there. That's the man that I like. The fellow that had enough to trust in me. We don't know what God told him. We don't know how much God told him. But God explained to him what he wanted. Did he explain it to Cain? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You say, where does it say that? He rejected it. He turned away from it. He did not accept his offering. You say, well, that's not a real good example to use because Abel got killed. Yes, he did. But you see, there's something worse than death. It's missing heaven. He was with God. Because God believed him. God trusted in him because he exhibited faith toward God. He completed what God said. We could go over to like Galatians 4 and verse 4 where it says there, Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions to be sacrificed, and the Lord had regard, he accepted his offering, and he turned down Cain's offering. Why? Because one fellow used faith. the other fellow did what he wanted to. He went his own way. You see, when God tells us to do something, we've got to believe it enough that we're willing to follow it. We've got to believe it enough that we're willing to do what God wants us to do. That's what faith is. That's what the kind of faith, and that's example that we're seeing here of faith. Now I got to go back here because I got these things out of order. Okay, Enoch. I'll get it right someday. Don't hold your breath. Here's Enoch. And here's another example, verse 5. And look at what he says here about Enoch and what he did. Here's Enoch. But by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? He heard what God had to say. He believed it. Now, what evidence did he have? Did he have God speaking to him in a great voice? I don't know how God explained it to him, but he believed that it was God, and he acted on that belief. You know, this thing of faith is kind of like a jury. You get 12 men and women that come in, and they sit down in 12 chairs after they've been chosen. They're those people who are going to judge a case. All right, they bring a person in. What if that jury, when they brought that person through the door, they looked and said, he's guilty, send him to the electric chair. Would you say that would be justice? Would that be right? But what is the job of that jury? The job of that jury is to sit there and they hear the evidence, both sides of it. Were they there at that murder? Were they there at that robbery? No. How can they make a judgment then? Because the evidence is presented to the jury, and the jury decides yes or no. We believe that evidence. We think it was true. Were they there? No. They've got to have a faith in the legal system that what is being said there is true and is right. All right, now here's a person who they say he killed somebody. They go in, and the jury hears the case. We found him with a gun smoking over this fella, and they had been arguing for 6 months. Now, I know that that's brief, but then they say, after sitting there for 3 or 4 weeks hearing all this evidence, DNA, all this stuff, it's his gun, problems, difficulties, trouble, they say he's guilty. How can they say that? They weren't there. How do they make that judgment? They make that judgment out of a faith that the evidence that they have been presented is true, is right, and they decide on that. That's what our faith is. That's the kind of faith that we have. That's the kind of trust that we should have in God, that we believe what God said, and we trust in it. Enoch here believed in God, and he trusted in God. He believed what God had to say. He was a man. Listen to Genesis 5, verses 22. After he became the father of Methuselah, oldest man, Enoch walked with God. How do you walk with God? You listen to what God has to say. You hear His Word and you're willing to follow His Word. He walked with God for 300 years and had other sons and other daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, I do, because it's written here in a book that tells the truth. And then Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him. He did what God wanted him to do. He lived according to the principles that God wanted him to live by, and God accepted him, accepted the sacrifice, accepted what he was willing to give to God. He was willing to believe that. He was willing to trust in that, and that's what we've got to be willing to do. In 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 17, listen to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know why? We believe God, and we're going to live a different kind of life. We're going to do what's right. We're going to live in such a way as to show that. Enoch pleased God because he heard what God had to say and he followed it. The whole book, this whole book of Hebrews 11 is people, examples of people that believed God and showing what they received for it. What's it saying? It's saying, listen, if you believe God and you follow God, then God's going to reward you. That's what he's saying. He wants these people to understand this. He wants these people to know this. Enoch walked, followed God, and did the will of God. Faith is something that is so important. And the last one I want to see, got to skip one. Okay, yeah, Enoch. Did I just do that one? Yeah. See, I get these mixed up. I'm sorry. I was looking for Moses. Where'd Moses go? Well, Moses must have left town. I think he did. So I'll just do the best I can with Enoch. I must have zigged when I zagged on that. What? Are you telling me something? She's down here telling me something, and I'm going, okay, that's Noah up there. I'm looking at this, and I don't see. Yeah, that's Noah. Look, I'm smart. Did y'all know that? If Linda's down there going, you got it. But here's Noah. Sorry about this. This is nobody but me today. I did all this mess myself. Here's Noah. Noah built an ark. We all know that story. He built an ark because the world was so corrupt, according to Genesis 6. It was so twisted. It was so bent that God said, I'm going to have to end this world. And so he did. But he saved Noah, a man of righteousness. Now, where does righteousness come from? We've already seen where righteousness. It comes by faith. It comes by believing in God. It comes by trusting in God and depending upon God. That's where faith comes from. And that's what he's doing here. He's showing that he depends on God, that he trusts in God. And he was willing to go out and do something that maybe nobody had ever done before. Nobody, and it's not recorded if anybody had ever built a boat before. But he's building a boat that is hundreds of feet long, wide, high, all that. And wait, you can go to the Bible and get the statistics on all this. He built the three floors in that. He put that pitch on it. He preached for over 100 years. Why did he do that? Over 100 years, I think closer to 120. Why did he do that? Where people were laughing at him, making fun at him. Why did he do that? Because he believed in God. He trusted in God. Here we are. People may laugh about our faith. They may laugh about what we do, what we believe. That's okay. Honestly, today, we don't have to deal with it for 100 years. Maybe. But what we've got to do is to be people that believe and trust in God and depend upon God. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to be those people. See, this fellow went out and cut trees down with just a saw. He did all those things because he believed in God. Now, the question we've got to ask ourselves is, what would we do with God? How does our faith affect us? What does it cause us to do? How would your faith really change your life? How will your belief in God cause you to live in a different way? That's the important thing. That's the thing we've got to look at. And we've got to do that as an individual. I can't judge your faith totally just by just coming to church. I can't judge your faith by not coming to church. There's some people today that if it was at all possible, they would be here. They're just as faithful as we are. But if I'm able to do other things, then I need to be worshiping God. I need to be serving God. It really boils down to how much faith do we really have. How much faith do we have in trusting in God and caring for Him? How far will we go in that? And see, that's the whole thing. It's not a matter of just what we do, but it's a matter of faith as we do. It's a matter of trusting God. It's a matter of depending upon God. How is our faith? How strong is it? Is it strong enough to keep us coming? Is it strong enough to keep us doing things? Is it strong enough to keep us walking when other people are saying, oh, I don't believe that? How strong is your faith? That's the whole thing. I don't want you to look at your faith. I want you to consider your faith. I'm not judging your faith. Nobody else is. But you've got to look at it. You've got to consider the faith that you have. How much do you believe in God? How much do you trust in God? You know that saying, by how we live our lives? But the time's gone. No, it's not gone. You've got time to exhibit your faith. You've got time as a Christian to confess your sins. You've got time as a person that has not obeyed the gospel to obey the gospel. You've got time right now. Use that faith that you have based on evidence and follow God. Please think about your faith and respond to Jesus Christ publicly, privately, however. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.
The invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God.